Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Good morning. It is Monday, May 6th. It is 7 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Happy primary eve, Rob.
It's almost over, Casey.
Or is it just beginning?
It's almost over.
I think tomorrow we should put our endorsements out there.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Well, every year I tell people who I vote for, and so I'd have absolutely... I might as well do it today. I'm sure I'd do it today, shouldn't I? I mean, people are going to vote tomorrow. So I should probably, you pick the time, sister.
Okay.
And I'll be more than happy to put out my list of my voting card.
Do you have your delegate list?
I could probably do that off the top of my head. Which, okay. By the way, if you head over to the YouTube feed, you'll see my special sign for the day is my dear friend Bart Doan, who's running for delegate in Brownsburg. He is so into it. He actually got signs printed. And this is what I love about the primary this year. The most interesting thing.
Right. It's not any of the candidates. It's the delegates.
It's the delegates. Yeah. You've got... I mean, the establishment is in such a panic now over Micah and this organized effort, and Micah's got close to 800 people running just to vote for him, that I got a copy of a text the establishment was sending out in Marion County. And what they're trying to do is, and here's how stupid these people are. So there's a whole bunch of people. This is how stupid the actual power structure of governance is. And it's amazing that if we could just get more people actively involved, how easy it would be to topple the whole thing. So Mike has got this list of delegates, and he's going over the whole state. And obviously, look, the most important thing you're going to vote on tomorrow are the delegates. You've got to find the people who are going to vote for Micah at the convention, because that is our best opportunity, whether it's property taxes, spending, government reform. You get him in there with the bully pulpit and all the new people he'll bring into the process. But he's recruited hundreds and hundreds of people, something like 800 people he knows specifically are running for him. Now, there's a whole bunch of people who haven't publicly pledged that because they're connected into the power structure. They don't want their name associated with it. They want to be left alone, whatever. Well, the establishment in Marion County is so stupid that they're operating. If you go to Micah's website, MicahBeckwith.com, he's got a tab there of people that by county who he knows are running for him. The establishment is operating off the structure. If you're not on the list, you're not voting for him.
Yeah.
So they're sending out these mass lists to people going, these are the conservative Republicans you should be voting for. And the hilarious part of it is there's a bunch of people who I know are voting for Micah who are on the list. But then it's like one of the lists had Jefferson Shreve on it. If you want a conservative Republican, Casey, you better vote for Jefferson Shreve. When in the mayor's race, Jefferson Shreve went out of his way to tell you he's a moderate Republican.
Exactly.
these people could. The Marion County GOP is a joke, and they couldn't organize a clown car if their life depended on it. And I just love the chaos, because that's what our government needs right now. They need agents of chaos infused into the system. Mm-hmm. And I love the chaos that Micah has created and how he's got the establishment scrambling. And gosh darn it, people, we need to reward that sort of behavior tomorrow.
I've got some interesting votes in the 7th district.
Yeah, you sure
do.
That's
Andre Carson's district, but somebody who's also running is Honest Gabe Whitley. And we've got a bunch of information coming out later in the show about him. And
yeah, that's right. We got a whole...
Somebody else on the ballot running in the 7th isn't even with us anymore.
The Marion County GOP is such a colossal train wreck. And yeah, Abdul's going to be with us at 10:15. You know, I was out on Friday. Mm-hmm. And so Abdul and I went on a little adventure down south together. And we'll tell our audience where we went and what we did. But yeah, we'll do whenever you want. I'll do my little list of people that I voted for, and I'll be happy to tell you why. And this has been a very disappointing primary season. And I think that governor's race is at the top of the list where, let's face it, Braun's probably still the front runner. He'll probably win by 5 to 10 points when it's all said and done. And you have no idea what any of his policies are going to be. You have no idea. Mike Braun has not been pinned down and held to account on a single solitary ad. When he was on Hammer and Nigel and they asked him about property taxes, he might as well have been speaking Chinese. Like, he didn't want any part of that. He didn't answer any questions.
It was almost like, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about the border. You guys want to know about property taxes? You want to know about something that affects Hoosiers here in Indiana? Wait a minute, I've been working on something else.
So why would you think, if you have a guy, and this is the question I ask to every Braun voter, and look, there's some people who are just Braun fans, they have a political interest, they have connective interest, they have personal interest, but if you're a run-of-the-mill voter, and Mike Braun's track record as a state rep and a U.S. senator is two things: growing government and spending a lot of money. Like, you look at 40 plus tax increases in the General Assembly, voted for that gas tax, the largest tax increase in the history of the state, doubled down on it during the debate, has no idea it appeared that the gas tax goes up every year, and then the voting to print the money during COVID, and his excuse was, well, everybody else did it too. Mm-hmm. Why would you think he'd do anything different as your governor? Like, I don't understand why people think that Braun is going to be some conservative anything. His track record of governance is anything but.
Yep, Braun is running on the name Braun. It is the Kendall and Casey Show. It's 93 WIBC. Let's talk about what's going on with IU. The ACLU of Indiana has filed a lawsuit against on behalf of three protesters who were banned for a year for participating in these pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protests on Dunmeadow down at IU. Now, they had the graduation over the weekend.
They got through it.
Yes, they did get through it, and I haven't heard that there were any big shenanigans that happened. But there is this lawsuit, and this comes after more than 56 people were arrested. However, this lawsuit that the ACLU is filing on behalf of three protesters.
Okay, so this is what's amazing to me is, well, I shouldn't say amazing. Nothing really amazes me anymore. But you have the right to free speech. That's absolutely true. You, as a law-abiding citizen of this country, have the right, if you so choose to do so, to say, I think Israel is evil, and Israel should be wiped off the earth, and I think Hamas is wonderful, and I think all those Israeli children and women who were slaughtered by Hamas, I think that's a great thing. You absolutely have the right to say that. What you don't have the right to do, I mean, as insane as that is, you have the right to do it. What you don't have the right to do is disrupt society. Mm-hmm. You don't have the right just to go, well, I feel like pitching a tent right here. I feel like blocking the street. I feel like breaking into buildings. Not to saying, I don't think IU is at anywhere near like a Columbia has in terms of people breaking into buildings, but I'm saying these things are happening on college campuses across the country, and you don't have the right to do that. Freedom, disrupting society is not freedom of speech. I have the ability to come on here and say whatever I want about these politicians. I don't go to a Mike Braun rally. Let's just use Braun because I just ripped on him. I don't go to a Mike Braun rally and start throwing things or pitching a tent in the middle of the venue that he's having his rally at, or, you know, threatening people, because that's not freedom of speech. And so this seems like a huge misunderstanding of what freedom of speech is.
Yeah, exactly. And two of the people, they're appealing their campus bans, and they've received a temporary stay, which is allowing them to stay on campus. And the ban is for a year. And they say that, you know, they're really disappointed in the university because they feel the university is determined to prevent them from speaking their minds. No, the university is not trying to prevent them from speaking their minds. It's trying to prevent them from breaking the law. And you mentioned Columbia over the weekend on Saturday Night Live. Of course, they did a skit about that. And here's the part when one of the parents, who is a supposed parent from a Columbia college student, shares his thoughts on the campus protest.
Man, I ain't worried about 5-0. That is not my business. My business is Alexis Vanessa Roberts, okay? She ain't talking about no free this, free that, because I tell you what ain't free, Columbia. Do y'all know that they got the nerve to want $68,000 a year?
And that's just it. A whole lot of money for some students who want nothing to do with any of this nonsense, yet they're being affected.
Yeah, I get freedom of speech, and nobody's a bigger proponent of freedom of speech than I am. But there is a huge difference between I want to say what I want as long as I don't threaten to harm anyone, and I'm going to totally disrupt society and be an agent of chaos, like in the physical flesh.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a new poll out, and it says that more Americans trust Donald Trump on the economy and inflation than they do Joe Biden. Are you surprised by that? We'll get into it next on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hey fam, I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, you're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in Hope today.
So coming up in our next segment, we're going to hear from the Tippecanoe County Assessor. Eric Grossman is going to join us. And this is fascinating because this is an assessor, a guy who's in the system, and he's telling us this system's broke.
I love this interview. I saw somebody alerted me that there was some local Lafayette publication who did an article about this guy. Again, his name's Eric Grossman. He's the Tippecanoe County, easy enough for me to say, assessor. And his whole premise is, hey, this whole assessment system is totally flawed. Challenge the assessments we're giving you. And I said, this guy is perfect for our show because
he's saying he
is the thing. And he's saying all the things
that we've been saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So coming up at 9:30, we're going to have him on. He's going to talk about why the system's flawed. He's going to talk about how you appeal, about some of the things maybe you can try to do in your appeal. So great guest. I'm totally excited about having him on because he is saying the things.
Yeah. Well, right now, more Americans say they trust Donald Trump on the economy and inflation more so than President Biden. And here's the interesting thing about this is that for a long time, the top concern among voters was the border.
Yeah.
And that has since changed. And now, according to this ABC News poll, they found that the economy and inflation were among the top issues, especially for the upcoming presidential election.
I think that's going to be the thing. I think the border, when there's like, you know, events that happen, I think it rehits. Is that even a word? It hits people again that the border's a crisis point. Like when as Joe Biden called her, Lincoln Riley, also the USC football coach.
Right.
When she was murdered by an illegal immigrant. I think that resonated with people, right? Like, this guy crossed the border illegally, broke the law. He goes to a sanctuary city. They catch him and let him go. He breaks the law. They let him go. He goes there. You know, we have ample opportunity to catch and prevent this. And so people go, oh, my gosh, yeah, that's still a thing. But the inability to afford food, the inability to, you know, find affordable housing, automobiles, that hits – these things hit people every single day.
And everyone.
You know, it's like I had an opportunity Tuesday. You know, I'd only plan on working one day this week, and I had an opportunity pop up that's going to require me to work 7 or 8 hours Tuesday when I get off. But it's a lot of money. And my wife and I had this conversation, and I told her, I said, look, it's your choice. I said, if you say, hey, don't do it, I need you at home, I'm not going to do it. It's not going to break my heart. But I said, here's the amount of money I can probably make doing this. And she's like, well, that sucks, but you got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is where we're at in society, where we're basically turning into one of these countries where people are working 60, 70 hours a week now in order to get by.
Yeah, you're making the choice, spending time with your family or actually paying for your family to have the ability to live.
Yeah, and like, again, it's I'm not a sympathetic figure, Casey, and I get that people aren't going to cry for me, but my story is millions of people's story that aren't named Rob Kendall. That's pathetic that in this country, when you have responsible people who aren't, you know, hanging out to the Bellagio every weekend, that they're having to work part. You got two people working a full-time job, and you got to go work a part-time job, and then you got to make choices. I had a conversation with a kid who far smarter than me, one of my new young guys that works at the golf course, and he is at the IU, the Kelley School of Business.
Okay.
So this is a guy who clearly intellectually is, you know, superior to anything I could ever dream of being, and I think he's a very, very high-ranking student. And we were talking about this, that just from a data standpoint, like take away the emotion of the whole thing. And we were talking about inflation and we were talking about spending and all these things. And we were just saying from the data standpoint, so this is an analytical guy. And he's just, it doesn't, and this is a young person getting ready to enter the system who's being taught the economy in the modern economy. And it's like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, the way our government is operating just makes zero sense. If you know inflation's a thing, mm-hmm. and you know inflation is driven by primarily by out-of-control government spending.
Stop spending!
But yet then you have the government printing $90 billion to give to other countries. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to anyone. And that is directly the fault of the government. That's not COVID. That's not supply chain. That's you people printing money.
And that kid is looking at not as great a job market as a few years ago.
Well, that's another thing we were talking about, because I said, you know, like, not to be old man in the room, but I said, hey, Skippy, you know, 10 years ago, you were, you know, punching your ticket if you're out of the Kelley School of Business. And he said, I couldn't even find an internship this summer. Mm-hmm. He said, it took me forever to find an internship. And I think what's happening is more and more people now are staying in the workforce longer because they're recognizing this, which is backing everything up. And it's coming all the way down the chain now to where it's harder for kids to even find internships mm-hmm. because these companies are like, well, I can't pay you to have an internship because I'm still paying Fred, who Fred didn't elevate because Sam is still here and Fred's kind of doing the work an intern would do. And so everybody, even the interns, are getting crushed by the Biden economy.
Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk about how much the average American has in their retirement savings. And it's
$7.
And it's split down by age even, and how much you actually should have. We'll see how you stack up. But according to this ABC News poll, it's overwhelming. 88% of Americans in the survey said that it was the economy. That was the most important factor when deciding who they're going to vote for. And 85% said that it was inflation. By the way, Donald Trump leads on this with 46% compared to Biden, who's at 32%. And here's the funny part. 21% said they don't trust either one. Neither are the front runners on the issue. So you've got this key important issue that the majority of people agree is a problem, yet there's a quarter of people who are like, and I don't like either of my choices.
Well, and I know we got to get to a break, but let's just take inflation for a mm-hmm. second. If inflation is your issue, then you shouldn't like either side, because both sides have equally
spent money.
Spent the money
contributed
irresponsibly.
To the problem.
Now, have the Republicans been a little bit better in terms of common sense things like oil production and not having wacko crazy environmental regulations that have hurt the economy? Absolutely. But that's like saying, well, you know, this 55% F is better than this 32% F. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's both epic failures of the American people.
All right. Joining us next, Eric Grossman, Tippecanoe County Assessor. And it's on the way with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's here. Casey, I don't know if you're aware, but people are really upset about the property tax assessments.
I've heard something about that as more and more people are getting those in the mail.
Well, and I think one of the things, and you and I obviously have been pounding this drum for several years now, and even before that, it's just a very screwy system, and there appear to be kind of no institutional controls over how high the property taxes can go. And obviously, we've reached a point where many people, the fixed income people, the older people, are really starting to get worried about losing their houses because they can't pay the property tax.
Yes, that's true.
And not all heroes wear capes, Casey. Mm-hmm. And I think we have found a hero in the, of all places, Tippecanoe County.
Okay.
Property tax assessor. His name is Eric Grossman. I saw a very interesting piece from a publication up in Lafayette where he was saying, as the county assessor, hey, you people need to challenge your assessments. And it's mm-hmm. been the same thing we've been saying about right. don't just take the government's word for it. Make them earn it. Make them play the game. And maybe you get a few coins knocked off your assessment. And so I saw this really fabulous article about Eric Grossman, the Tippecanoe County assessor, and I reached out and said, hey, would you like to come on the show? And he said, absolutely.
Tell me more.
Yeah, you're great for us. Hey, Eric Grossman joins us now on the WIBC hotline. So Eric, tell us why you, as the assessor who's doing the assessing, are saying, hey, people, you need to challenge your assessments.
Well, it's like you guys said, it's a kind of a wonky or screwy system sometimes, but you know, I got involved because I appreciate the kind of separation of how it's been implemented in Indiana, where the assessor values property as a way to distribute tax liability. And I always thought that there was merit to that. And it's based off this case law in the late 90s, where they threw up the old system and implemented this era of market value. And that's kind of why I got involved in this field. I consider myself kind of a market value nerd. And then Since recently, especially since COVID, there's been all these kind of carve-out laws that affect the way property is assessed in Indiana and shift tax burdens. And in Indiana, one thing that was really important and determinative in the previous St. John litigation that set up the system we have now was Article 10 of the Indiana State Constitution that guarantees uniform and equal levels of assessment. And so when the assessors are barred legally from carrying that out, it was really kind of my staff and I's joint opinion that, you know, if we can't determine market value, it's kind of what we signed up for. And we have all these caveats that determine different levels of assessment for different property types. When we take an honest look at the numbers, it's a really skewed system. And like you guys were pointing out, it burdens homeowners, especially people on fixed income. And we're the face of this thing. We're the people that hear from them the most. And it just doesn't feel good in the community we live in to implement a tax system that we don't personally believe is fair.
Eric Grossman is our guest. He's the Tippecanoe County assessor who is telling people, I love this, saying, hey, I'm the assessor, but challenge those assessments. So Casey and I had talked about this last week. I had challenged my assessment. Mine was way higher than my neighbor's. We have very similar houses built the same year. I called over to the assessor's office, and within 3 minutes, they said, oh, yeah, hey, you know, we caught this error, and they corrected it. And I told the lady on the phone, I said, I feel so bad for you guys because you're just trying to implement the crappy system the state has given you, and yet I feel like the assessor's office kind of gets the brunt of the bad decisions the legislature's making.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's my name on that notice of assessment people are getting, and we thought it was important this year to say, hey, if we're the face of this system, we need to tell people that there's substantial flaws in it that we think have gotten to the point of literally violating their Article 10 constitutional rights and saying you need to speak up and do something because, you know, we're unable to, you know, we like to think that we're the liaison between the community and the state and the DLGF, but when we're unable to affect equity due to the systems in place, yeah, we thought it was important to get the message out.
I get the feeling that you must feel like you're Matthew, the tax collector from the Bible. Like, this is just my job. I have to do it. But what can people do to, you know, question their assessment?
Yeah, the assessment statutes provide a lot of different relief. I think the first thing to do is just look at the property record card and just make sure that they have good data. And then ask yourself, if you both agree on what physically exists, I think the question is it worth that? And then that was always the primary question. But now I think there's this other question of, even if the value is right, is me being at market value when so few other properties are at their market value, is that fair? Is that constitutional? And with the specific fairness clause of the Constitution, you know, we're of the opinion that it's not.
Eric Grossman's our guest. He's a Tippecanoe County assessor telling everybody, hey, challenge your assessment. I think this is a fascinating interview. So are you surprised, because we've heard all these people running for governor on the Republican side, they're all acknowledging, oh, we hear about this more than anybody else. You see these state House and state Senate people up for re-election. They say, oh, we're hearing about this all the time. And you're saying, as a county assessor, hey, this system's basically complete crap. Are you surprised at the lack of action that's taken place from our elected officials when clearly they're acknowledging this is the thing everybody's worried about?
Not yet. I think it remains to be seen how the legislature will ultimately react. As you guys said, this system is fairly incomprehensible. You know, we're talking now about the constitutionality of valuation subsidy, but the same Article 10 that talks about, you know, fairness also talks about the ability to establish exemptions and deductions and circuit breaker rate caps are in that same article and tax credits. And so there's so many different ways on the books legitimately to subsidize different assessments that are used that then we have all these subsidy laws that hit before that part of the tax bill, they hit before any of the deductions, exemptions, et cetera. And so I think it's just such an incomprehensible system, even to a lot of the legislature, that I think we'll see how they deal with or react to some of the inputs from assessors and the public too. But I generally think people are starting to understand that the system really is construed against them. And there does need to be some sort of equity in practice, not just in wording.
Eric, are you surprised at how, like, there's not an education for the voter, right? I mean, like, you get that form in the mail, and I get it's a uniform thing that all the county assessors have to send out. I was in local government as an elected official, and I look at this and even struggle to read it and understand it. Is part of the problem that the average person gets that assessment and they have no idea what it says, and they might understand that their property taxes went up, but you gotta scan a QR code. You know, you've gotta read this fine print. You've gotta go here and download this to appeal. Is the whole process too complicated?
I believe it's bordering on that. I don't believe that's why it's unconstitutional, but just from a good tax policy standpoint, it is too hard to understand what the assessment means and how to gauge it in context with other assessments in your tax district that ultimately affect your tax bill.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what, so we'll get you out of here with this, because like when I called over for my assessment, that wasn't even the formal appeal. It was before you make a formal appeal, hey, help me understand what happened. And the lady was very nice that she admitted, hey, we made a clerical error. So I was hoping, Eric, maybe just high level, if you could tell our audience what you think are the processes. Should people call first? Then should they appeal? What way should people work through the actual appeals process?
I can speak really specifically to Tippecanoe County, We are basing the call to action based on our specific county, and we put tools in place online that specifically when you go to the assessor's website, it says, file a value-based appeal, file an equity-based appeal, and we've streamlined it to where you don't have to come to the office. You can do it all online. I think, just filing an appeal, not everyone's going to have a good equity appeal. It depends on your taxing district, the makeup of property in your taxing district, what your level of assessment is, how you're being assessed. I mean, there's a lot of factors to it. But if there is going to be relief, you're not going to be entitled to it without an appeal. And so, to my fellow assessors, the idea is not to inundate local assessor's offices with equity-based appeals, but basically to send a message to the legislature that people require an equitable system and will exercise the rights to achieve it. But to answer your question, the best way to appeal is online for the counties that have an online system. Mm. Otherwise, the DLGF, Department of Local Government Finance, has a website with the appeal form. It's the Indiana State Form 130 that can be mailed to any assessor's office. Usually you could call and email them too and ask questions. And they usually have contacts on their website. But generally we were really speaking from, you should appeal to the Tippecanoe County's assessment because we are aware specifically of equity issues we couldn't solve. As far as other assessors, we believe these same inequities exist across the state because they're legislatively driven. And we've requested data from our counterparts, and we are confident that this is not an isolated incident in Tippecanoe. We do believe these are systemic issues. We urge people to stand up for themselves.
I love somebody inside the system, and mm-hmm. This has been a great interview. Eric Grossman, the assessor for Tippecanoe County, saying, hey, this is crap. We got to fix it. Eric, man, thanks for being a voice out there. It's bold for a guy in the position to say, hey, there's flaws with the system I oversee. And, man, we appreciate you mm-hmm. taking a few minutes to tell us about it today.
I appreciate you guys getting the message out there.
Eric, I have one last question, and that's about the appeal process. How long does it typically take from start to finish?
It really depends. What you guys described is that discussion over the phone with a clerk who was able to just effect change. That's actually a legal part of the process in Indiana called the informal discussion. It's informal, but the law requires an informal discussion. And then from there, there's hearings. There's a local property tax review board, the Indiana Board of Tax Review, and the Supreme Court. And basically, it kind of depends on how fast the county wants to get through them. But with respect to the equity appeals, we're asking people to file in our county. We're fairly confident these will get through the local process in a matter of weeks or months. And the true power to effect change lies with the Indiana Board of Tax Review, the highest arbiter of fact, who will try whether inequity truly exists. And then the Indiana Tax Court is the highest arbiter of tax law, basically, who will determine if these regulations are unconstitutional or not, ultimately. And so to get it to those, based on the nature of what we're claiming, could be a lengthy process. Every year stands alone, too. So it could be a multi-year process, definitely. We hope people understand that. It's not necessarily easy, but we think it's worth it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Eric Grossman. This is the Kendall and Casey Show. It's 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
All right, coming up next hour, we're going to find out, are you going to pull the lever for the deceased person in protest?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's the hardest choice Casey has to make in Marion County because the Marion County Republican Party is so inept and puts forward such terrible candidates is whether Casey is going to vote for the deceased person in protest.
Either that or the guy who allegedly defames my co-host on this radio program. So these are the options that I have. Cool.
It is.
Let's vote.
I mean, it is just a cavalcade of awful in the Marion County GOP. So next hour, I will do my full ballot. I'll work through the whole thing.
Perfect.
With people. Tell you the ones that left blank. Mm-hmm. Tell you who I voted for. We do this every year.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm a totally open book, Casey. And I said, well, Casey, let's work through yours as well. And look, as bad as my choices are,
do you feel bad for me?
And as disappointed as I am in my choices, at least I don't have your ballot.
I know.
Now awful. I would totally vote for the deceased person just because I think that would be hilarious to watch the other guy lose to the deceased person. He's going to lose either way, but
yeah,
to lose not only legitimately to the person alive, but also to the deceased person.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to handle it however you want to handle it. So,
well, neither have earned my vote, actually.
We are at crisis point in this country in terms of the quality of candidates that we have running for public office.
There's a couple that are worth a vote.
Other than the delegates.
Mm-hmm. And one I can't even vote for, and I would say that's Charles Buchwalter.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I'm voting for Buchwalter.
I can't vote for him.
Look, I went through the ballot again yesterday. There's not one vote I'm casting where I feel like the person has really earned my vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just protest votes, mostly against the incumbents.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting my delegate votes together. So as we've mentioned before, that's the entire reason to go vote.
So coming up next hour, I'm going to work through with Casey whether voting for the dead person or the alive person to protest vote the other person.
Yeah.
Is the better choice.
The lesser of two evils, I guess.
What, aren't you excited for this to be done because it's been so disappointing? It's been so disappointing this year.
Yeah, I think listeners are probably excited to hear an end to all the political events.
I went to that, obviously I was out Thursday, and next hour Abdul will be with us to talk about where I was Friday and where I was Friday related to what I did Thursday. Mm-hmm. But I went to that Hamilton County...
I know.
Lincoln Day dinner.
We haven't gotten a recap on that.
And, you know, we can talk about that, too. But it's like one of the things they did is they had the candidate, the Crouch was there. She got up and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had all these candidates for the 5th Congress, the three frontrunners, Raju.
Mm-hmm.
Raju.
Did you sing?
Raju came up on stage to his theme song.
Did he?
I said, what a boss.
Why
move
wouldn't
by,
he?
By Raju.
He paid for that jingle. Use it.
He had some sort of blinking something on his, I don't know if it was his name or
blinking
what.
Pin?
Yeah, that was very distracting.
A button?
But it was like him,
yeah.
And it was Sparks and Goodrich, and they're getting up there, and they all sounded
like... Were they fighting?
Well, they gave them 5 minutes each, and they all sounded like, if you are you familiar with the show The Office, Casey?
Yes.
Kevin. Are you familiar with the TV show The Office?
Yeah, I am.
There's a famous episode where Dwight gets Salesman of the Year,
mm-hmm.
and he has to give this big speech in a ballroom in front of the other Dunder Mifflin salesman, and Jim...
convinces him to do it like Hitler.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
He prints out
Mussolini.
Yeah, it's a Mussolini.
Mussolini,
speech,
you're right.
And he's like reading... he's reading phrases from Mussolini speeches, and he's mm-hmm. pounding his fists, and he's like pounding the podium.
Is that what it was
I
like?
I thought I was at the episode of The Office where Dwight is up there, and it was like, what are we doing here? Like, what is happening in our country where one of you three underachievers who have no idea what any of you are going to actually do are going to win, and we're going to go to Washington?
Now, is this the one that Vivek Ramaswamy was the keynote speaker?
Yes, he did a fine job. I thought he was a fine speaker. He took photos with people. If you paid the troll toll, mm-hmm. and you know, you got to be in the VIP section, and then he got up and gave a nice speech. I will give the Hamilton County GOP credit. They did Vivek first, then the candidate speaking.
Interesting.
So if you were like, I am ready to stab my eyes out with an ice pick,
at least you already saw the main event.
They fed you first, then Vivek spoke, then the candidate.
A-plus
performance by the Hamilton County GOP.
And then you could quietly exit. All right, well, I've got more questions about that event. We'll get to it coming up. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.